Stephanie, would you please, well, first of all, call to order. Welcome, everyone. Happy to see so many board members on a cold February night. Stephanie, would you call the roll, please?
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omoosagie. Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Jillian Rappaport.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Margaret White.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Welcome to our members of the public. We set aside a short period of time for citizen input, public participation. Do we have any tonight? All right, so I'll just remind you that you have five minutes and that total participation cannot exceed 20. Please come forward and introduce yourself by name and either address or agency or.
My name is Jane McClintock and I'm. My name is Jane McClintock and I am representing Illinois Solar Decathlon. We're a university group of architecture students and engineering students, and we're trying to do a project to address homelessness with our technical resources, but we recognize that we don't have a lot of information about serving homeless folks or the experiences of homeless folks. So we were hoping to get input from community members and wanted to come here just to invite you all and let you know that it was happening so that you could invite other folks if you thought anyone might be interested. It will be a week from today at the IMC at 6:30.
So you're having a meeting.
We're having a meeting to share our ideas and get input.
And this is at the Independent Media Center
in Urbana.
At 6:30 on?
On February 28th, a week from today, which is Wednesday.
Great.
I have some flyers if I could leave them.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for your time.
Now it's on, right? Hi, I'm Lisa Benson from the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission. I just wanted to provide some updates regarding some of the work that we're doing through the Youth Assessment Center. We did have a Restorative Justice 101 training that we hosted a couple weeks ago. We had a wonderful turnout, a little over 40 participants, very diverse set of people attended. We had city officials, schools represented, not-for-profits, U of I students, we had one of the Developmental Disabilities Board staff, county board member, and actually a couple representatives from the Mental Health Board. So thank you for that participation. The other thing that you may have heard in the news, we had been seeking a new site for the Youth Assessment Center. We have secured a new site. That will be at 2011 Round Barn Road in Champaign. And Jimmy John Littoud and his foundation have committed 3 years of lease fees for that facility. So we're very happy for that donation and to continue the work that we're doing through the Youth Assessment Center.
Thank you very much for the update. Any questions? Okay, anyone else from the public with comments before we move on to the agenda? All right, so the agenda we have in our lime green packet, and we will be dropping one item from the agenda under new business, C, SAMHSA application matching funds. That was not submitted, and so we will not be reviewing it, but we can, if you'd like to ask questions when it's time for Lynn to do her report as executive director, you certainly can. Otherwise, I think the agenda, I have no changes for the agenda. Do we have a move to approve the agenda or any other comments? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Agenda approved. President's comments. Just very briefly, we received the applications as anticipated on, was it February 2nd? And there are five new applications. The funds specifically for mental health exceed the allocation availability or the revenue by $400,000. So once again, it will be a task of critically evaluating the applications. It's always a task of critically evaluating, but knowing that, in fact, we will not have the money that's requested for the applications means we will have some tough decisions, as we've had in the past. We will talk some more about the application funding requests and review process under new business. I would like to thank everyone for signing up for the liaison assignments. We have in a couple of places up to three people wanting to liaise with a single agency, which I think is fine. You might want to coordinate if you're all going on the same day to make sure that the agency has space. I assume that's probably not an issue, but in case it is, just you'll have a moment to chat with each other because I think this meeting will end early. And if you're not sure what your liaison assignment is, it was sent out via email by Stephanie. And we have a couple of agencies that don't have assignments. So if there's an agency that you would like to visit once, just to become familiar with it, please feel free to do that. And maybe shoot Stephanie an email so that she knows that there's coverage. So the purpose of the liaison is really to become more informed about the agencies that receive funding from the Mental Health Board. And we did shake up some of the assignments this year, but we also maintained some assignments. And again, appreciate your involvement in this activity. With that, I'd like to move on to new business. So application funding requests, list of the applicants and amounts are on pages 3 and 4. You also received an email indicating which applications you would serve as a primary or secondary reviewer on. And I was really pleased because Lynn pulled this together. I remember doing it last year, and excellent job, Lynn.
I just tried not to disturb your process very much.
So I would say if you haven't looked at the applications that you serve as the primary or the secondary, if you believe that you have any kind of conflict of interest, let us know in the next week so that we can do a reassignment. And, you know, just let us know. It happens occasionally. And we've already gone over the fact that there's more requests and new applications. Any questions about the funding requests before we talk about the review process? Okay. So the review process will be similar to last year in that the primary reviewer will have approximately 4 or 5 applications to look at closely and to present briefly and to identify questions that you might have about the application as we move into the study session in March and April. So the goal is, in fact, to have you read the applications that have been assigned to you so that when we have the study session on 4/18 and 4/25, we'll be able to identify questions that you have for agencies so that we can send those questions to the agencies, and we can also let the agencies know between the 18th and the 25th which session would be best for them to attend to respond briefly to questions.
It's a dream.
It's a dream, but this is our intended dream.
It's a dream, right?
You will have program summaries, which are the shorter 2 to 3 page summaries, by April 11th. That is why today you got the applications that you're the primary or the secondary reviewer on. These are not the shortened program summaries. No. These are the applications. And I understand that you may want to go to the website and enlarge the print or the font on some of them because they printed out somewhat small. Or there are at the local drugstores those magnifying glasses.
I will put them back on the copier, 200%.
So the goal is that we will have read our applications that were assigned, I think, before the program summaries come out, and then you can review your application against the program summaries. The goal of the program summaries is that if you have the time and the inclination, you can scan program summaries for those applications that you're not a primary or secondary reviewer, so that you're prepared for the discussion that will take place on the 18th, which, by the way, is my birthday.
Really?
Yeah, April 18th. I may just bring cookies to that session. It is on the 18th of April in 75.
Our man is now alive. In the midnight run.
Yes, Tom, as we get off topic. Oh, the 11th isn't a meeting. On the 11th, the staff have committed that they will have the shorter program summaries available. So they're working on those program summaries as of receipt of the applications on February 2nd.
Practically before.
Practically before. But if they have program summaries ready before April 11th, I'm sure that they will let us know. And they will be accessible through the website?
Well, there's already some material in all of, for everything where there's an application, there's also a beginning program summary on the website. But it's what I could automate. So it takes information from certain sections and compares it to do like a beginning financial analysis, beginning of a budget analysis. It also does some analysis of data from previous years if it's an existing program, because some of the large programs, as i.e. Rosecrans and Prairie Center, are combined this year. Those calculations would not be worth your time to look at. Like the formulas are right, but they're pulling data from not comparable places. So we need to go in and do a whole bunch of checking and using the right data where things are combined, or just scrapping it and saying these old data don't apply because the application is so different. So we have to put hands on, but there is information already in every program summary online. What we'll do, the staff production of the program summaries happens offline, and they'll look very similar to the way they have looked in the past. But the release date of April 11th means that we would have them posted on the county site where your board packets are posted. They would be posted as part of the board packet. And because they're ready, they could also be emailed individually to people as you're interested. The individual program summaries could be emailed individually, but it's just a lot of extra steps, lots of extra work. So if posting it and then sending out the paper copy of the board packet on the 11th is adequate, that's what we should be able to do that. I like what you said about maybe they would be ready before, because it's a great, that's another great
dream.
Yeah.
So if you, I'm sure you all recall that in April we get a very thick packet. Sometimes it's even two packets, and it's full of those program summaries that are 2 to 4 pages. What we'll be looking at on our own as primary or secondary reviewers are pre-summary materials. They're more in depth. And in order to help you summarize notes for the applications that you will be reading, I took let me pass this out, and then you can see it. I took the priorities out of the November board packet where we approved the allocation priorities and decision support criteria. Last year, I tried to make a matrix. This year, I thought, how about one page per application? And this just simply, if you want to use it as a way of summarizing some of your thoughts, includes, for instance, you could put down Champaign County Children's Advocacy Center. I'm the reader, primary reader on that. And I would look and see from the application and which priority it meets. We have four priorities. And it may be that I think it meets more than one priority, and so I could make a note of that. So you can use check marks or whatever. We have overarching priorities, which we've always considered the underserved, countywide access, inclusion, anti-stigma. So if you want to make a check mark, just as a way of reminding yourself. We have secondary decision support and priority issues, and that is whether or not the approach or the method or the innovation is promising, notable, where if you'd like to make a short note for yourself or if you just want to highlight it, whatever. Staff credentials, resource leveraging, we've always looked at what the funding request was, whether it's new or a continuation, and then comments or questions. It's just a quick way to help you summarize. It's optional. It's not required. It's not homework. It doesn't have to be turned in. This is for your own personal use. And then, if you'll recall, last year, when we got together and had our discussion as a board with the short reports from the primary secondary reviewers, we ended up coming up with 5 pages worth of questions, agency by agency. So these are last year's questions. The agencies responded to these questions so that we had more information. And Lynn is willing to email these questions out to you from last year, if that would be helpful, just to see. We'll do the same thing again this year. And what I remember is that we had writer's cramp by the time we were done, but it was very helpful for feeling like we really understood the proposals. And, you know, hopefully the questions that we raised last year won't need to be raised again this year because the agencies had a chance to respond to them. So if you want these as a reference, open the email when it comes to you. If you prefer not to, don't open the email, but we'll provide that as background. I didn't make copies of this today. My printer's not that strong.
Well, we could make copies.
Well, I think we can just send it out via email. Okay. So essentially, the review process we've outlined. Does anybody have any questions about the review process? And I know that you do, Kyle, and we're going to come to that in just a minute. Yeah, okay. So, you know, it's pretty similar to what we did last year. You're reading it, you're being critical, you're making some notes so that you remember what it was that you were concerned about. And then we're coming together, and you'll have a secondary person who can add to your comments or clarify, perhaps. Obviously, if you run short of time, getting your primary reviews done are the priority. And then it's lovely if you can do the secondary review. I think we had someone out last time, and so I ended up having to fill in on some of the secondary. So it's just, you know, it's a good way to make sure that we cover everything. Okay, you've got a question, Lynn?
Yeah. This question is related to the timeline. If we're going to, our plan is to get you, in the same way that we would get you the program summaries by April 11, the idea was to get you some recommendations for funding by May 9. So would you want your questions to agencies to be asked and answered during those two April meetings?
As best as possible. Okay. Yeah. Yes. What we wanted to have after discussion last year was the staff recommendations for allocations in advance of the study session, so that we could use the study session to talk about the staff recommendations. Because the staff know the programs far better than we do, but, you know, we're the board members who are responsible for okaying the staff recommendations. So that allows us then on April 16th to have some back and forth with the staff related to, May 16th, thank you, May 16th, back and forth with the staff about the allocation recommendations, so that when we come together on May 23rd, we can approve Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4, et cetera. If we have a concern about a proposal in one of the tiers, we can still pull it out for further discussion, but we'll do that after we've approved the tiers.
You'll have a lot more time.
And we'll have more time. So because we have this extra study session.
So that means that we could, in putting together the staff recommendations, we could also have the benefit of the answers that agencies give you to the questions you've...
Okay. Right. Yes.
Because I think that helps us a lot.
And, you know, if the applications are pretty complete, we hopefully won't have many questions. But last year we had 5 pages of questions, so we'll just see what happens. So Kyle brought up an issue, which is always a good issue to bring up. I think I maybe brought it up a couple of years ago, and that is guidelines for board-to-board participation as liaisons. Stephanie handed out this sheet, and Kyle, you had contacted Lynn with a question.
Oh, yeah, that would be easier than reading on the phone. Okay, yeah. So it was in the liaison guidelines, it was number 5. It is not appropriate to attempt to influence another Champaign County Mental Health Board member to take action pertaining to the agency to which you are assigned. And the question I raised with this is I found this kind of confusing. I mean, it definitely seemed like it was something that was designed for a particular situation that may have happened in the past, but used very, very broad language to the point where my interpretation of this is that if you're a liaison to a agency, you can't discuss those funding decisions. And that's literally what we do. So, I just wanted to wonder if we should think about editing that or maybe making it more specific. Because just with that broad language, it just seems like it's saying that you can't at all discuss, you know, the agency in which you're...
What if it was clarified that it is appropriate to discuss the agency for which you are a liaison with other board members only during public board meetings? Because if you're a liaison to an agency, and by virtue of being a liaison and the board has a question, you may have some information that is worth sharing. You should be able to do that. I think this was written such that board members wouldn't call other board members and say, I really want you to support A, B, or C. I know this agency, and those were private outside conversations. So, yes, Anne.
I suggest we just get rid of that thing because it is confusing, and I think that the concern that this is reflecting should be covered under the Open Meetings Act,
right,
which we are all agreed that we have to adhere to the Open Meetings Act. So you might want to substitute, you know, if any communication conflicts with the Open Meetings Act, you have to refer to the Open Meetings Act or something like that.
But no, the Meetings Act allows you to speak, 2 people to speak, so that doesn't cover this. So I think we still need to say something.
Julian.
I want to thank Carl. I want to thank Kyle for taking a look at this. I had thought I remembered it, so I didn't really read it again. And I think this was written in the past when the board was actually in many ways doing their work in a very different process fashion. I would suggest, I guess my suggestion is similar to Ann's, in that I think we should table these and let's have a chance for everyone to look at them and make suggestions and see if we want the staff to rewrite whatever these recommendations are, if we're going to have them. Because I think they no longer exactly match the nature of the processes that we're engaged in here. So I appreciate your pointing this out. I think it would be a mistake to just try to patch it. Let's just take a look at it and come back.
Number five seems to me to be appropriate in that, in order for transparency, I don't think that board members should be trying to influence other board members about funding issues. And if the only thing in there what does make sense to me is to put brackets around that or something, but I don't think we should be influencing, especially calling people and things. I don't think that that's not a good idea. And so for some transparency, I would like to keep some part of that in here.
I have a suggestion. We have a study session next week, and that would give time for some email comments to Lynn for rewording, and we could come to some agreement at the study session. Does that sound appropriate?
To create a new set of guidelines by the study session in order to...
Well, I think the only guidelines that people are concerned with... Well, we're not sure. It's probably a good idea. Well, I know, but we can take 10 or 15 minutes out of the study session, can't we?
Yes, but I don't think you can take action unless it's a regular meeting.
We don't have to take action until the March meeting, but we could certainly study the implications of what these recommendations are. And as Julian noted, we've had these guidelines every year, but we may not look at them carefully every year. Probably only looked at them carefully the year we were appointed. So if we gave ourselves a week to look and see if any of the guidelines raised questions, we know that number five does. At the study session, we could set aside 10 minutes. Between now and the study session, though, people could send in revised wording. Kyle and then Tom.
I was going to draw a note because I did correspond with Lynn about this this week. And a point she did bring up is that that I think should be noted is that these are guidelines and not board-approved policy. So
I was wrong.
You're wrong?
2004 must be approved
of it. Oh.
Yeah, so they weren't approved by a board.
They
as Julian said, a very different board.
Okay.
Board.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, this is definitely something I'd like to take up. It's just that what we do is attempt to influence each other. You know, we discuss things. You know, within the law, we can have a one-on-one conversation with a board member. That's kind of the purpose of us being here, is that we're here because of who we are in our minds and the discussions that we can go into about these issues. So I think that this is one of those things where, like I said, that it was in good faith, and I think that it was, like I said, probably about a very specific scenario, but it's one of those things that, you know, you can't always make rules. You know, we could make a rule for politicians to don't play political games, but how do you make that rule, you know? So it's like something that we want to address, but it's just a reality. You know, if the fear was that somebody were to be coerced or manipulated by one of their agencies that they're liaison to, that's the reality of what we do. You know, we interact with agencies. We're board members. We're human beings. They're human beings. You know, if they want to try to, you know, coerce or manipulate, there's nothing we can really do to create a policy to prevent that from happening. And it's something that we should certainly be cognizant of and mindful about, but I just don't know if this is something you can really legislate.
This is just a procedural matter. If we're having a study session and we want to deal with this prior to the study session, is that two different meetings? Can you do that when you're advertising a study session and you're actually having?
Well, it's a study session to discuss what we think would be appropriate, but the adoption of it would occur in March at a regular session where this would be in the packet and it would be on the agenda. My sense was that we're still at the stage of needing to think through, does this make sense? Can we agree with it? So we would not approve it at the study session. We would just have more time to talk about it. Now, the other option is we could set aside some time at the end of this meeting, if it's a short meeting, and try and tackle it. It's just whether or not you want some time to quietly read through it and consider it first. Study session or tonight? Any preference?
I'd like some time to think about it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for bringing this up, Kyle, and we will. I'll recommend that people email thoughts to Lynn between now and next week. We'll talk about it at the study session. We won't take any action until March. Okay. Moving on then, we have dropped C from the agenda, as I noted. D is the Consumer Needs Assessment Survey update, which is pages 9 to 11 of the packet. And Lynn or Mark, which one of you would like to briefly comment?
It's not a very deep briefing memo because it's mostly... We just wanted to show all of the different places that the survey went. It was really broadly distributed, or at least information about it was broadly distributed, and we, even though all of the surveys lived online, we also created paper copies in case there were people who would prefer to do it that way, and we did get a lot of paper copies back. It's closed now. We found the responses are pretty healthy, except for individuals who have developmental disabilities, and we didn't really expect a lot of people to complete the survey in that category. So we had, from the very beginning, talked about the need to reach folks in a different way, maybe small meetings where we talk to them about some of the survey points, but we're comfortable with proceeding with the data analysis of the other surveys. I was very happy with the return from family members of people with developmental disabilities, because that's another group we don't hear from very easily. Not, you know, we do know some, but they're often people who can't make it to meetings anytime that we have meetings. So did you want to say anything about the process and what happens next?
Well, this was a different approach than we've taken in the past. So, and it was something we really put a lot of energy in last September and October. And as we worked through the surveys, we tried to make them as comprehensive as possible, but easy to complete. So they were fairly long, but hopefully mostly just check boxes. Although we did provide an opportunity for a narrative response if there was something that an individual completing the survey, something else they wanted to share. I did, the process of putting the survey together was actually served as almost a team building exercise, because it involved not just Lynn and Stephanie and myself, but also our new staff members, Kim and Chris, and then even though Chandra's been with us a little bit longer, Chandra, and we all worked together to pull these together. So, and we did it in a very short period of time. So That was a very good experience, I think, for us as a staff working together. In terms of where we go from here, this is just one part of what we plan to have as part of our needs assessment for 2018. We will be looking at other needs assessments that are done. That's been typical of the approach we've done in the past. The Public Health District is completing their I plan or has just completed their I plan. There's information that typically comes out of United Way, other local needs assessments. The local community action agency does one as well. And then there are other data sources and other documents that we would also be looking at. In terms of the initial analysis of the data here, I think that's Alex is going to do some work on that, and then we'll be reviewing that. And from there, we'll be sharing it with the board. So.
And the purpose was to help us to begin to think about priorities and whether or not we need to refine or modify the priorities that have guided our funding. Okay. In the three-year plan, right. Okay. Moving on then, agency information. Do we have an agency that has not yet had a chance to speak about an issue? Okay. Seeing that no one is jumping up, we'll move on to old business. So we've already really gone over the schedule and allocation timeline, pages 12 to 15, as we talked about the review process. Are there any other questions about the allocation review schedule for the rest of this year? Okay, seeing none, then let's move on to information from the Developmental Disabilities Board. Do we have anything to report, Lynn or Mark?
The DD Board met this morning, and they had a fairly long presentation from a group of self-advocates who mostly were talking about how to hire staff. I mean, it was really cool. They're talking about being involved in the interviews with the staff that are going to work with them very intimately. This is a presentation that they do for other self-advocates and also they've done that for the Division of DD at the state level staff too. So we were a different crowd for them. And at the end, they wrapped it up with questions that they thought we should keep in mind, and they were just perfect for future priorities documents, so I wrote their questions down. And they were the kind of things that we do talk about, but the way it was organized was a little bit a nice spin on it, so I really enjoyed that presentation. I'm sorry we didn't advertise it more heavily to you all, because it was pretty cool. So that was the main thing. You can see on the list of applications for funding year 19, that all of the DD applications are listed here along with the mental health and substance use disorder applications. Those are technically submitted to the DD board for consideration, but you have about $650,000 to allocate to DD programs. So we'll, at some point we'll be talking about which things might be the best fit. We usually try to fit it to spend those dollars exactly, because that's compliant with the intergovernmental agreement. But there are certain ways that the portfolio might be more meaningful than just the dollars fit. So I'm hoping to work on that this year. What else did we? We did not have a quorum this morning at the DD board meeting, so we should call it a study session or a visit. So we're struggling a little bit with the timing of their meetings. And in the past, we had mental health board and DD board meetings connected, and that might happen again. So
8 a.m. is just a little difficult for those of us who are retired. Health Board Minutes, pages 16 to 22. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Moved by Kyle, seconded by Margaret. Any corrections, additions,
spelling of my name on page 17 at the bottom of the motion. There's a minor observation.
Okay. Mr. Rapport. Okay, that's easy to do. Any other corrections, revisions, additions?
Dr. Rapport, I think I like that.
Okay, so I don't think we even need to make a friendly amendment. We'll just correct it, correct? All those in favor of accepting the corrected amendments?
Aye.
Okay, great. And Stephanie, you do a great job, so a typo now and then is to be expected. That was a particularly apropos. Probably.
Thanks for doing it on public.
You know,
may I speak?
Sure. Okay, so moving on to the executive director's comments.
This is a time of year that things just really heat up and become almost impossible. So I want to let you know that if you're interested in using that online system, there are a whole bunch of things that you have access to now that you never did before. So if you want an email with your login and password, we can do that to start. I can't always find people's passwords, but I can always change them. And then if you're interested in any of these things, I can show you how to get to them. You can look at those beginnings of program summaries because they do have some information organized in a useful way. It's the beginning of what we're going to be doing. You can also look at we have a mirror of the accounting system. So we use the county's accounting system, and then we have a mirror of it on the same system where your applications are. And it shows you you can see all of our financial activities, but the ones that will calculate, if you're trying to look at the budget to see where we're at, how much we've spent this year, or like a profit and loss statement that it can automatically create, it will only show you the approved expenditures. So it's always about a week or two behind us, but it's good enough if you're interested in what we're spending money on. And then you could also look at the applications. And then there's some new stuff that Kim Bowdry has been working on with the DD agencies. It's turned out to be a much bigger project than we expected. It's service level data on all those DD contracts. So right now, it's got lots of bugs that we're still trying to work on. So you can produce some really cool data from it about how services are affecting people and who's being served, but the data is not complete, unfortunately. I mean, it's been entered completely, but it has to still be debugged a little bit before it's really going to serve the purpose. But those are all things that you can look at if you're interested. So just send me an email about whatever level of involvement you want. If you want no involvement at all, we can put these applications back on the copier and make them bigger. That's okay too. And I will be, you know, if they're not readable because they're very tiny, yeah, we have big paper, so we can do that too. I'll be going to Washington, D.C. for the National Association of Counties Legislative and Policy Conference, which runs almost exactly concurrent with the NACBID, which is National Association of County Behavioral Health and DD Directors Conference. So what's cool this year is that the state association is paying my expenses for the NACBID conference. So, yay! And I have some committee obligations on both, and we're going to be doing a legislative briefing on Capitol Hill about, it's very basic DD, because we don't feel that we have any champions at the federal level. We want to develop some champions. We have a list of people who stood up for the ADA last week and voted against the rollback of important provisions. So we want to acknowledge those people and just do a little real basic briefing on what really keeps what the majority of funding for DD services is long-term care funding through Medicaid. So we just really want people to understand that piece of Medicaid should be preserved for this population. And so right after that, I'm going to get to go give an award to Dick Durbin. So it's going to be a very busy but interesting week. So anyway, that's it, I think.
Saying that if you wanted to go deeper into the proposals, make an appointment with her. And if you don't, it's fine. But mm-hmm. I know that people have come in, or with Mark. People came in last year and found it very helpful, really helpful. Okay. So item 12 are staff reports, and I am assuming that you've had a chance to read the staff reports, and this is an appropriate time if you've got questions. As always, it's very helpful to know what staff are up to and how they contribute to the overall mission of the Mental Health Board and the DD Board. So I'll pause and see if you have any questions. Okay, that was a long enough pause. Go ahead, Julian.
The continuum of care, the service providers, the survey, the street camp. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
What page are you referring to?
Page 26. Mm-hmm. This is in yours. Mm-hmm. Did I understand there's only 11 surveys collected?
I think that was the result of the actual street count. That's what I recall having been reported at the continuum's last meeting, the February meeting. They'll have a full, they'll compile both the results of the street count as well as the shelter count, and have a more in-depth analysis in terms of numbers. But there are teams that go out, and they're divided. I actually did this last year. You're divided up into teams of like 3 or 4 or 5 people, and you're asked to go to certain areas of the community and just kind of check to see if you run across anybody who appears to be homeless and engage in them, and then if they say they are, you ask them to fill out a survey, and you ask them the questions and fill it out. And this year they had 11 people that they ran across. I think with the weather that we've had lately, a lot of the folks probably were in shelters, the men's emergency shelter, or in other services, for the men's emergency shelter being an example. Yes, they would be counted. If a person says, yes, I'm homeless, but I'm going to be going to the men's emergency shelter, then you wouldn't have done a survey on them because they would have been counted at the shelter. Or they're counted, and then once the information comes in through the shelter, I think they actually had 13 surveys that came in, and two of those were found to actually have been sheltered later in the evening.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand it. Seemed like it was a very small number relative to the total number of homeless people there actually are in this community.
And these are the people with whom they made contact. It's not to say that there aren't more out there, but those are, and generally what happens is when you run across somebody, you make note of the location that the individual was, where they were found, so that next year that same site, that same place can also be checked. So there was actually, during the discussion of the report, a conversation about one of the teams being out by, I think it was Kaufman Lake, and going down a path and finding a little kind of shelter that had, a couple of shelters that had been constructed there, and some of the things that the people had done there to, I guess, you know, make it a little bit more of a community, but also to warn people away, so that they, you know, they weren't disturbed. So, And so they made a note of that location, and somebody was actually going to go out on another occasion to just see if they could actually meet with the individuals and see if they could engage them and get them to come in for services.
Mark, do you know what the number was for last year?
No, but...
Is like 85, that sound?
Actually, this is Lisa Benson from Regional Planning.
So Mark was talking about the street homeless, the people that are in the street homeless that
And I don't know the numbers offhand. There is some actually Regional Planning hosts the Continuum of Care website, and there's some historical data there, but I don't know that 2017 is posted there. So.
Mark and I have been doing a project also with our National Association. It's a special pilot project for communities who are concerned about people who are incarcerated instead of in services, right? So it's a big topic for a long time in this community. And where the planning group left it in November was that it would be nice if at some form of a behavioral health coordinating council were to continue. So I've got one of the topics on our calls is how to do that when it's a coalition of the willing and not, you know, driven by requirements of a federal grant. So we're getting some support for that. It's hard because our mentor is from Orange County, which has, I think, so little in common with us that it's very hard to, right? We don't have as many billionaires as he had to put his group together. But anyway, we will be, he and I, that mentor and I, and Leon Evans, who you may know as a big shot in that world because of his work in Bexar County, will be presenting at the National Conference, too, on that work. And the next step of it, which is super exciting, is the jail simulation. Or it's like a diversion simulation project, which is supposed to show you if you divert at certain points along that intercept model, how there can be better outcomes for people. It's based on real data in other medium-sized counties, and they're still working on it. But it would be really neat to have that, to be able to project things like potentially cost savings to other publicly funded systems and even better outcomes for people. So.
So while you're on that topic, you want to say something about this proposal that we thought we were going to look at?
Yeah, it was exciting. It was just, the deadline was so quick. The deadline for all of it to be done was March 4th. I'm not totally sure why it didn't happen, but that was a tall order anyway. So it's off the table. Do we just not have the right pieces in place? Is that it?
I don't know a lot of the particulars other than there was the potential for the board to be asked about match.
Right.
That's a role we've played in the past. And I think one of the considerations was the timing, the mm-hmm. short turnaround time in pulling it all together. There's also the anticipated release of the JMHCP proposal. The implementation grant that the county pursued last year, and the intent to mm-hmm. clearly pursue that application. And so I think they're probably the work that would have been dedicated to this proposal is probably going to be applied to that application.
Right, and it was really, I guess, it's a missed opportunity, but it also created an opportunity. I went to the CIT meeting that's not the steering committee, but it's just law enforcement, and there was so much consensus around what projects to request funding for. It was just crystal clear what they wanted to do, and there were two. So the likely topic would be that co-responder model, where crisis and law enforcement professionals show up to the scene. So there, you know, people felt really ready to move on that. So maybe by the time there's a JMHCP grant opportunity, we'll have all the pieces together.
And are you expecting that to come out this year?
I think last year it came out and had either a late March or an April deadline. The board, maybe it was March, because we came to the board, I think, at our February meeting. It was either February or March, and asked the board's consideration to provide the match, and you approved that. We just weren't successful with the application just wasn't successful.
Or a board match, yeah. Sorry, any questions on the consultant report on the Disability Expo, which is scheduled for April? We could take a short.
Hi. A few things, because actually I did this report about a week ago, and lots changed since then. So we actually have right at about 85 applications. It's almost double what we had a week ago for exhibitors. So we're really seeing those flow in. We are going to cut it off at 100. We're in a new venue. We want to make sure everything is very accessible, and we don't create accessibility issues. So, excuse me. So that's kind of what our plans are. Today was the deadline for the early bird special. So anybody that comes in later, they pay a little more. Of the folks that we have signed up, we have about 25% of those are for-profit companies, businesses. And so they bring in a nice booth fee, which is really great. We have had, along with that, we've also had a lot of in-kind, probably very close to $10,000 in the in-kind that has been committed at this point. So we're really thrilled about that. That helps make this happen. So we have our entertainment all in place now. I think we didn't quite have everything confirmed when I wrote this. But we are having two stages, so we'll have kind of people jumping back and forth a little bit so that there's something happening on both those stages. And we have Charles Joseph Smith, Dr. Charles Joseph Smith. He is from Chicago, but he earned his doctorate here at the U of I in piano performance and literature, I believe. So he's going to be performing. We also have Deborah Myers, Sounds of Music, vocal studio, and she is connecting. Several of the number of the students that she has are a part of the Penguin Project. So she's putting a group together. They're going to perform, and that's a real big draw, has been in the past. So I think that's going to be really good. And then Kevin Elliott, who is going to play and sing, play his guitar and sing. So we're really thrilled with the entertainment lineup. We're kind of into promotional mode now. So getting information out on the streets. Please take some posters. There's posters over here. I will have brochures probably on by Monday or Tuesday that I will be getting out. Please email me or whatever if you'd like to help get some of those out. If you want some for your agency or organization, I will get them to you. We just want to make sure that we get them out as broadly as we can. We're going to be doing, as you see by the my report, a lot of promotional stuff with radio, TV, wherever we can do that. We have some, we have some window clings, and we are really needing people to who would be willing to be a moving billboard, actually, because it goes on the back of your window of your vehicle. And I've got one on mine right now on the parking lot. They really look good. Anyway, it's a great way to advertise. So if anybody might be willing, please let me know. I think that's pretty much it. Oh, I did have a meeting with OSF, since OSF is new in our community. And they are going to be at the expo with a booth. They are also helping me to kind of connect with some other things. We're hoping for a sponsorship. They were having a meeting the other day, so we're hoping for a nice sponsorship from them. And we also had Pro Ambulance, through connections with OSF, we had Pro Ambulance, who is volunteering to have an ambulance on site. In the past, we've had a couple of needs. We've had some needs for that. And so that's going to be really a quick response should somebody fall or have a seizure or something like that, which are kind of the typical things that we see at the expo. So anyway, but that's pretty much it. Things are moving and real busy.
Thank you so much. And so April 7th on everybody's calendar, if possible.
At the Vineyard. Yep. Join us.
Thanks. We just did the liaison assignments, but we might have some board-to-board reports. Has anyone been for a visit, want to make a report? I went to Urbana Neighborhood Connections in early January, and it's the program that serves children from Urbana School District, and I think also other schools after school. And it was chock full of kids from age 5 through high school, although mainly middle school down to age 5. And it was busy, active. People looked happy. They were finishing their homework. One of the children I talked to said he really likes coming there because when he gets home, he can eat, play, and sleep and not worry about homework. So very positive atmosphere, lots of college volunteers from the university, incredible array of computers that are donated through the university. I was just really impressed at how much donated material they had. So that was fun. I'd never been there before, and good time. Anything else? Okay. Financial information, pages 34 to 40. Are there any questions about the financial information? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Any board announcements? Just a reminder that we have a study session next week. And the purpose of the study session is to get the mid-year report on the Youth Assessment Center, the Dream House, and GROW. So GROW and Dream were new proposals funded last year. And the Youth Assessment Center has been going through some changes. So
I think it's such a it's a much bigger contract this
right.
year.
Right. So it's got a mid-year report, too. Anne.
I forgot something. Not exactly a board-to-board, but two of us did go to the Restorative Justice 101 program.
Oh, great.
Joe and I both went. And
It's so funny that you should mention that, because we have a staff person who has a particular interest in trauma-informed care training, and there's a relationship between restorative justice and trauma-informed care. And so we're trying to find people who will come here to do a study session so you would be able to be there. But also, we would like to make, more of a community event like RPC had done, and be able to offer CEUs for there are a whole lot of QIDPs, qualified ID professionals, and QMHPs, and it would be nice to have some local, low-cost CEUs available to them, especially in topics like this. So it's great to hear a positive review of that.
Board announcements? All right. Then I move that we adjourn. Tom moved. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you all for coming today.